How we doing? Good. I'm doing well also. Hope you've had a great week. Let's do a very quick prayer. Lord, show us how to live, apply, absorb the reality of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we are part four here of a series that I started a few weeks ago on the kingdom of heaven, and it is a topic that we honestly could be talking about every single Sunday throughout the entire year. It's what Jesus talked about more than anything else. There are over 100 different mentions of the kingdom that Jesus made, and so he's constantly talking about this, so we could certainly do that. But of course, nearly everything else that we're going to talk about for the rest of the year is a part of the kingdom. It's a kingdom dynamic. It's a kingdom element or part of the essence of the kingdom. And so we're going to continue, but we may not just call it that all the time. But the kingdom is so large. It's massive. And it's, you know, it's this thing that an alien from another place came into this world, wrapped himself in the flesh of a man, and brought us technology from a place that we did not have. And then he began to explain this kingdom from the place that he came from, and he brought it with him, and how we can function in what he brought. And he kept talking about it over and over, trying to help us understand and get it, and we still don't fully. I certainly don't. But he said, seek it, pursue it. I'm giving you glimpses of it. I'm bringing it, I'm giving it to you, but I'm asking you to seek it, and you will learn, you will discover the mysteries of this. And if you will, everything else you need in life will follow you, will pursue you, will track you down. Prosperity, all of your needs met, if you will pursue what I'm talking about. Those are the words of Jesus from another place. The one with the technology to create universes is speaking to us about living a different way, about thinking a different way, about pursuing different things than mankind had been pursuing at that point. And that call is still beckoning us to pursue, to seek him with everything that we have. In the mid-90s, I did my first trip to Africa. I was working for the government, and I was in a country to install a system in an embassy. And when I left that trip, I got on a plane, and as I'm leaving, flying, I'm sitting next to some other Americans. I found myself sitting next to some other Americans, and so I just struck up a conversation, asked them why they were in this country, in Africa, and it was a really difficult place. And they told me the story. They said, well, we were here as contractors to install, mid-90s here, to install a land system in the president's palace. So we were there drilling in the walls and running all these cables throughout his palace so that he could have really the beginnings of internet and then have this land system, local area network. So as they're explaining this to me, he said, you wouldn't believe what we saw in his palace. He said, it was the craziest thing. We would be in rooms. First, he said, when we drove up to the palace, huge walls and guys with machine guns all the way around the outside. And people in this country, one of the poorest countries I've ever been in, one of the most difficult places I've ever been, people, as we were driving by, just on the streets, people, there were piles of garbage and people would be digging through the garbage looking for something to eat. And then sometimes they'd take garbage and throw it at our car when we drove by. So outside of this presidential palace was that type of environment, piles of trash, no hope, a country that had been really abused, misused, raped by its leaders, all of those type things. And so this guy said, when you got through those palace walls, he said, it was so plush. It was amazing. All of the things that they had, it was spectacular. But he said, as we're running these lines through each room in the palace, he said, there were some rooms that had pallets of U.S. dollars. He said there were pallets of U.S. dollars piled up in the rooms of this palace while everyone's starving outside. Now, this leader at that point of that king, that president, was also taking piles of money, and that's probably where some of that was going to go, into Swiss bank accounts and just storing up everything for himself while his country was rotting. So when I think about the kingdom of heaven, it's the exact opposite of that. The exact opposite of that. Jesus came, and through his death and his resurrection, he rips the veil. The veil is ripped, so there's access, full access to the King, to the Father, to the God who created it all. He provides access, doesn't keep us at a distance. And then Jesus said, if you will seek this kingdom that I'm giving to you, everything you need will be given to you. Every single need. I'm not keeping back anything. It's not selfish. There's no corruption in it. In fact, this is a side note, but I really have a firm belief that the first thing Jesus is going to do when he returns is deal straight head on with every bit of corruption that's around our planet. At every level of government, business, everything. Corruption, I believe, is one of the things he's going to fix immediately because we can't. And there's corruption everywhere. All kinds of different places. Jesus is going to deal with that. But his kingdom is the exact opposite of that. Store everything up for myself and don't give it away. Protect everything, build my own safety and kingdom and accumulate for myself. Jesus says, I'm giving everything to you. In fact, the things that I'm doing right now, you will do because I'm going to my Father. And even greater things that I'm doing right now, I'm going to allow you to do in my name. That's amazing. He just completely unzips this kingdom of heaven and says, you can have it. You can walk in it. You can receive it. You can believe it. You can live in this thing. This is completely different than anything you've ever been a part of or ever seen demonstrated, especially the Roman Empire at that point. That was the only demonstration of a kingdom mentality with colonization was the Roman Empire. And Jesus saying, this is so different. I want to also just put a plug in here for a book that is one of my favorite books that I've ever read. I don't often talk about books up here, but it's called The Unshakable Kingdom and the Unchanging Person. It's by E. Stanley Jones, a Methodist guy who died in about 1973 or so. But it is jam-packed with beautiful stuff about this kingdom. And it is lit a fire. For a long time, I've been pursuing the kingdom in my life. And I've told you that oftentimes through my life, it happened this morning, happened so many times where I'll see the number 633 on the clock, which is to me a reference, a reminder of Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But that book really has helped me in many ways. So I want to pass that along as well. So now that was basically a recap. Part four here, the kingdom of heaven, it's really the description that Jesus gives us to help us understand his domain that he's bringing with him. He's the king of the kingdom. And they're very interchangeable. When you talk about Jesus or the kingdom of heaven, it's like almost the same thing. I think oftentimes it is the same thing. Because it's speaking of the presence of who he is and where he goes, things change. It's that type of a thing. And there's one point, it says in Revelation chapter 11, where the kingdoms that are in this world will become his kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and Jesus will rule forever that kingdom. So it's coming, it's growing. Jesus described it like leaven that goes throughout all the dough. It's going to saturate every single part of this kingdom. His kingdom will, until Jesus is ruling it. And here we are, toward the end of the age, right now, you and I, we need to be about his kingdom. We need to be about his kingdom. It's what he emphasized, and he's returning to consummate, to bring the conclusion, the fullness of this kingdom, yet it exists right here, right now. We carry it within us. This kingdom is unshakable and will never end. Hebrews 12:28 says this, therefore, since we receive a kingdom, you don't earn it, We don't earn it. We receive it. Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. You know that everything in the world can be shaken except for this? Everything can be shaken. Relationships can be shaken. Churches can be shaken. Businesses can be shaken. Economies can be shaken. Everything can be shaken, but the kingdom cannot be shaken. It's impossible for it to be shaken. And it only increases over time. Luke 1:33 says, this is an angel showing up, speaking to Mary. He says, and he will reign, speaking of Jesus that was in her womb, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. It doesn't end. This is not like a guy who gets elected and he's got 4 years and then it's done. Someone else comes, or maybe 8 years. This is Jesus. It says that when he comes, his kingdom, it's going to keep growing and growing and growing and growing. Has no end forever and ever. That's a great kingdom to be part of. It's the thing that we should talk about more than we talk about any other thing with other people. This kingdom. Elements of this kingdom, aspects of this kingdom, power of this kingdom, joy about this kingdom, our hearts racing related to this kingdom of heaven. It's that beautiful and spectacular, but it sometimes gets reduced and hidden and short-circuited through religious words and experiences and just thinking, yeah, that's the church thing. When it is really alive and spectacular and growing, and it's the desire and the satisfaction of every desire, every human desire. Jesus intended this to satisfy. It's also a threat. The kingdom of heaven is a threat. Every leader or king on the planet, every religious leader on the planet who doesn't carry the kingdom themselves will be threatened by the kingdom of heaven. We have good examples of that. King Herod was one. He heard from some wise guys that there was a king about to be born in his territory. And so what did he do to stop that? Because that was a threat. Someone else is bringing a kingdom. He said, no, I want to keep my kingdom. So let's kill all of the male children under the age of 2. Let's wipe them out and wipe out the threat of freedom and love that could invade my territory. That's what happened. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were ruling their religious kingdom underneath the Roman Empire. And when they saw Jesus, especially after the resurrection of Lazarus, that was where everything went into a different mode. When they saw a guy who had been dead for 4 days come to life, and crowds of people following Jesus, they, it says, out of envy, out of jealousy, which are two different things, but they said, we must come up with a plan to kill this guy. So to kill anything that brings freedom and love, joy, power, peace, healing, all those things, that is what happens inside the hearts of anyone who isn't carrying this kingdom. I have friends and know many, many people. One of the friends that I met in Tanzania, when he got converted, he was Muslim, and when he became converted, became a Christian, the kingdom of his family, hatred rose up in their heart. Death threats. We know many, many people who are beaten up, some to death, for leaving Islam, because love and freedom is a threat to Islam, right? But this is what Jesus brings. He brings love, he brings freedom. And it's honestly why Christians, though we don't understand it oftentimes, that we are carriers of this kingdom, so we are a threat anywhere in the world. If we are awakened to who we are, then the enemy is afraid of us. So he will try and stir up whatever is around you locally to try and stop you from releasing and being a representative of this kingdom of heaven, of freedom and joy and peace and power and love and healing. So that's where persecution comes from. Christians are the most persecuted people on the entire planet by far. Millions in prison, dying, being killed because of the threat of love. Isn't that crazy? not domination, but of love. The enemy hates it. So he stirs up all kinds of things. But the reality of this kingdom of heaven is that it's not just a better system. It's not like seeing a governmental system and making it better. It's not like seeing a political party and adding a few better elements. It's a completely different way of thinking and living. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's completely different than any existing system on the planet. It's the domain, the culture, and the domain and reign of the king in a space, in a heart, in a business, in a life, in a church. It's what this kingdom is, or at least the elements of it. And it's meant to be infused into every part of who we are, not just having elements drawn out and used for certain aspects of life. It's meant to, no compartmentalization. It's supposed to be fully enveloping us. And for us to have that mindset that I'm a carrier of this kingdom. The kingdom of heaven also carries with it the authority of the king. So those who carry this kingdom and release this kingdom and speak this kingdom, when, let's for example say, a demon leaves, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. If that happens, if there's a displacement of evil, then the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Wherever there's a displacement, sometimes it's of thinking, the kingdom of heaven has just touched you. Wherever something great happens, that's the kingdom of heaven invading darkness, changing that. The kingdom is also inside of us. I want to read this scripture out of the Amplified. It's Luke 17:21. It says, "Nor," this is Jesus speaking, "nor will people say, 'Look, here it is,'" there's the kingdom, "or 'see, it is there.' For behold," here's where it is, "the kingdom of God is within you." It's within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. The kingdom of heaven is on the inside of you. You're a carrier of this, and it's around you. Imagine if we had that mindset and that realization of that reality. Wherever we go, the kingdom of heaven, I'm carrying it. Wherever I go, this atmosphere is surrounding me, so someone just might get touched by it. There is, if we have, that's like a faith in a reality, in a technology that's beyond us, that really does have power. The kingdom of heaven is not words, but it's power. And I am certain that many of you in here have had people say to you, "Something changed when you walked in the room. There's something about you that's so different. There's something that comes off of you of peace." I've had many people say that to me. "When you're here, I know everything's going to be okay." That is not me. That's the kingdom that I carry. It's not you necessarily. It's what you are carrying. Wherever you go, you're a carrier of this kingdom. You're meant to give it away and for it to kiss and touch people, this presence. The world has, you know, counterfeits to everything that's real. Like in the world, they'd say you have an aura about you. The reality for a believer is that's the kingdom. That's what we call this. You could call it an aura, that's okay. But it really is. It's the kingdom of heaven. So in a practical way, a couple of things that are important for us, and I want you to hear my heart too, that my heart isn't to preach at you. It's to inspire and encourage all of us who are sons and daughters of this king to pursue the things that he asked us to pursue. For us to be filled with the unshakable, so that in a world that's shaking, we don't fall. And to be satisfied knowing our purpose, because it's attached and filled with his kingdom, and so that we know where we're going, what we're about, why we're doing things. I want us all to be whole and made one with this loving God. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we can, when we join our spirit to God, we become one with him. For us to see that, to be awakened, sons and daughters, each of us, as to who we really are and what we have. And so we want to not be deceived by several things. Much of the Bible, much of the New Testament, especially the Pauline letters, are talking and addressing areas of deception. And we're warned over and over about being deceived by certain things. Some of the things that we can be deceived by are, I'm going to say this, reducing the kingdom to something much less than it is. That's a deception. Even when if I see it myself and I say, Lord, forgive me. No, illuminate the fullness of my mind and understanding to grasp and see the vastness of this kingdom you're talking about. Not reduce it to something that it isn't, or that's maybe just even a portion of it. Another deception is to use all of my energy to seek justice for myself. That's a deception in the world. Even if you've been treated unjustly. So interesting that God gives justice. If we seek it for ourselves and that becomes our driving force, even when we get it, we won't be satisfied. It says in Micah chapter 6, you know, oh man, here's what the Lord desires of you, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with the Lord. So doing justice for others is more important to God than receiving it personally, because he will take care of that. He will take care of that for us as we do justice for other people, as we don't just focus on it. I remember, you know, there have been several situations in my life where I've been mistreated. And your mind, if that happens, can get wrapped around that moment. And unforgiveness is right there at the door. And bitterness is knocking, saying, let me in. And then that injustice can become the driving force in life to get justice for myself because of what was done and said to me. And when that happens, I've just been deceived and I'm off track from the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, living under the Roman Empire and a religious system, and both were unjust. Living under that, he doesn't rail against them. He says, be the light of the world. You're my ambassadors. Give the kingdom. Go heal people. Set them free. Don't focus on what's been done to you. Focus on what's been done for you and give it away. And God will take care of our justice. And I'm talking about in a personal sense. So we don't want to be deceived by the wrong pursuit personally. We don't want to be deceived by pursuing riches. When Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom, riches will follow you. We can be deceived by that. So here's what we are to do. That's seek the kingdom. We mentioned that, Matthew 6:33, above everything else. And Jesus knows that when we do, our mindsets will be transformed. We'll begin thinking differently. He also knows this, our language will change. The kind of things that we say to other people will shift if we will seek his kingdom first above everything else. But in this world, that's a tough one right there, because this world has got us chasing a lot of other things above the kingdom. A lot of other things. But he wants us to have that priority straight. He also says to pray the kingdom. The most famous prayer that we have, once he gave his disciples power to go out, set people free, raise the dead, heal the sick, and then he sent 70 more to do that without seminary training. And then they came back and they said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? So they had authority to heal, set free, raise the dead before they were ever taught how to pray. Think about that for a moment. The kingdom of heaven does things differently. It does things 180 degrees out from our natural mind. But Jesus said, pray this way, then after they asked him, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh, your name is wonderful. Your kingdom come, pray that way. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth just as it is in heaven. That was the first part of that prayer. So when he teaches them to pray after he's been talking about the kingdom, he says, now pray it. Pray the kingdom. Ask for it. Ask because it's the will of the Father. You can't miss when you pray that prayer. When we're praying the kingdom of heaven, it's transformed my mind, but Lord, bring it. Bring this kingdom through me. May your kingdom be established here. So praying it is a big part of this. Another part is, so we got seek it, pray it, and then we got receive it. Receive the kingdom. That's a different mode. That's an opening up, a surrender. That's a mode of, God, I welcome into myself your kingdom. Do you know that the kingdom of heaven is supposed to permeate every part of who you are, as well as every part of our society? So if it's every part of who I am, then how about this? I receive the kingdom of heaven into my pores, into my tissue, into my bones, into my toes, into my soul, into my brain, into my body, into my spirit. Bring your kingdom. What if the tissue of our bodies and the cells of our beings were filled with the kingdom of heaven? He said, receive the kingdom. And he also said this in Luke. He said that it's the Father's great pleasure to give it. Luke 12, it's the Father's great pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we want to receive it. We get things from God by receiving it by faith. From salvation to healing to everything. That's how we get things in the spirit, right? By faith, we receive it. Sometimes we need to do that daily. I receive the kingdom in the tissues, in my toes, into my nose, everywhere. I receive your kingdom. And then we want to proclaim the kingdom. Says Jesus said this, Matthew 24:14, the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. You know, if you just share something that's religious, that's not much of a testimony to the nations. But if you share and proclaim the kingdom of heaven that has power and people are healed, that's a testimony to the nations of a reality that now is living inside of me that I'm giving away. It's entirely different than having a scripted message, right? Of some words that I heard someone else say. It is entirely different. This is one reason why we need to be functioning in the supernatural and the gifts of the Spirit that we've been given. The 9 gifts given through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which John the Baptist said of Jesus, when Jesus comes, he's gonna baptize in the Holy Spirit. And through that baptism, all of a sudden we get these 9 gifts. There's words of knowledge, there's prophecy, there's healing, there's miracles, there's power. And I'm telling you what, the enemy says, no! So let's make this look ridiculous. Let's somehow get people to think this is of me, of the devil. So they'll avoid tongues at all costs. They'll avoid believing that the supernatural, what Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall you do also? And even greater works than I'm doing, you will be doing. So the devil says, we got to stop that. No, no works. So let's make tongues of the devil. Yeah, that's my... Let's make any prophecy weird. No, we don't want them pursuing any type of prophecy, connecting with the Spirit of heaven and releasing words that can change people's lives and encourage people. So the enemy is all out in getting people to become religious. Forms, laws, do's and don'ts, boredom. Amen. No power. No shouting in church, certainly. Man, we've got the best thing. The kingdom of heaven supersedes everything else. And it's exciting. And that is the call to others to repent and turn to, not to a church lifestyle. Unless that church lifestyle is infused with the kingdom of heaven. Then that's a different one. But that's what we're to be preaching, is this kingdom. That's what we're to be sharing, is that joy. Man, when I was on an airplane speaking with a Muslim about what I just had seen God do in changing a witch doctor's life and him leaving the female mutilation that he had been participating in and receiving Jesus and his life changed in a half an hour time, I'm telling you what, that is the kingdom of heaven. And that happened through a dream that God had given this witch doctor. That is the kingdom of heaven coming close to us. That's it pervading a space. And the guy on the airplane said, either you're lying or that is amazing. I said, I assure you I'm not lying. That is what people are looking for. They're looking for the kingdom of heaven. They desire, the world desires this. So they come up with all these weird things that don't satisfy. The world is weird. They think we're weird. I'm telling you what, the world is weird. Oh boy, I shouldn't go down that rabbit trail. I was just thinking of some examples. I'm going to stay on point. So we're to seek it, pray it, receive it. We're to demonstrate it. And we're to proclaim it. Proclaim it, but also demonstrate it. Luke 10:9 says, Jesus, this is when he sent out the 70. These are 70 people, just like anybody following him. Okay, you. Okay. I give you authority, go do it. That's basically how that was. There was very little training. And then he said to them, and heal those who are sick. When you find someone who's sick, heal them. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, when you find someone who's sick, pray for 3 days and call upon my name that I might decide to come help. No, he said, when you find someone who's sick, I've just given you authority. If you know who you are and you realize what you have, you can heal people. It's interesting. Heal those who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When someone gets healed, that's what's happening. The kingdom of God has come near to them. When someone is saved, what's happened? The kingdom of God has come near to them. And they jumped in. They responded. They repented. They turned from their sin. So how can I focus on my life being in the kingdom? I think there are several different things. I think one of them is just that reminder of 633 to seek it, to set the course in my heart and my soul and my mind, I'm gonna seek this. You know, when I first saw who is now my wife, she's up there leading the kids right now, I can't explain it. Here's what I know. I spun around, I saw this beautiful woman with all this dark hair. I thought, I need to get close to her and meet her. Once that happened, and I looked into her eyes, and we spoke, here was the next thought. This is the one I want to marry. I know that's weird, and that happened really fast, and it never happened before, but that is how I felt. And from there, I set a course to pursue. Right? Every person on the planet knows how to pursue. We do. If you want something, you know how to get that. You're going to put your focus on that, your prayers toward that. You know, if you want a house and it's in this certain neighborhood and you've been driving by, it's like, I want that house. There is this collection of energy toward that. So we know how to seek the kingdom as well. We just choose it. We say, God, put that in my heart as a desire. Would you help me with this? And he will start to birth something and draw like a magnet on the inside of you being drawn to this kingdom, of me being drawn to this kingdom. He'll help when we ask him. That's a prayer he would love to answer. Help me seek your kingdom. And then we can just intentionally pray it, proclaim it, speak words of the kingdom over my everything. How can I allow my business to reflect the kingdom? If you're in business, which most of you are, how do I get this kingdom to be a part of my business and not just my personal life or my weekend life, but how can this invade my business as well? I think there are several things. One is I think you can maybe even say, okay, let's dedicate my business to God. Let me have some friends come over. Let's walk around this place and claim it for the kingdom and ask and invite God to invade every part of my business, from the books to the front door to the telephones and every part of it. And then the Bible says in James 2:8, calls it the royal law of the kingdom. You know, there's a royal law. Anyone know what the royal law is? James said it. He said, your calling is to fulfill the royal law of love given to it. Excuse me, didn't say that part. He said, you must love and value your neighbor as you love and value yourself. As we love our neighbor as much as we love and value ourselves, we fulfill the royal law of this kingdom. And so with a business, you can set it up toward, how am I loving people through my business? So let me adjust the way that we communicate in this way. Let me adjust the benefit package that we have for our employees. Let me adjust things where I'm loving everyone the way that I want to be loved, or that I love myself. We can make those adjustments. We can ask God to invade that space. When I lived in Asia, there was a CEO of a large company, thousands of employees, and he said, Matt, would you come with, the pastor that I was under at the time, he said, could you guys come and dedicate my business to God? And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak to all the employees. I was like, oh my goodness. So we walked around with him, who has authority over his business. He prayed together. We just agreed with him. He invited heaven to invade his business. And then we walked around the entire place, dedicating it to the Lord, took that ground. And then he let my pastor preached. People started to get saved. And what happens is the realm of heaven starts to invade that business. There's a change in the atmosphere in that space. There's a change in the atmosphere where people feel love. They feel drawn to God. And then it wasn't preaching every day, but it was having the kingdom permeate the environment. That's one way to do that. How can I allow my marriage and home to reflect the kingdom? Well, I think it's one of the things I'm often reminded of is how can I, as a man, love my wife like Jesus loves his church, his wife? Man, that right there is always a reset for me. If I'm loving, and how does Jesus love us? Oh, man, in many ways, he gives his own life for his bride. He lays down, he doesn't accuse, he forgives easily. All of those things. If I will employ those things, those characteristics, that heart, that spirit into my family, if I will not cause my kids to be angry by berating them, but if I will love them, then the kingdom of heaven is now in my home. It's at hand, it's near, it's in everything that we have. And I think we can declare this kingdom. Let's do this as we end, if you don't mind being a part of this with me. Can we stand? And then we're gonna go eat. And man, I pray that forever, that as the kingdom of heaven is mentioned, there'd be like those, you know, those pop rocks you used to have in your mouth, and they like an 80s candy. I don't know if they have those anymore. You'd put these little candy in your mouth, they just start popping like crazy on the inside. I pray that our spirits would be like that at the mention of the kingdom of heaven. It's like this, wow, what are you saying, God? Let me bring it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. I proclaim it, Lord. I give it away. May there be that that goes off on the inside of us. Not, yeah, I know that religious word. But may it be alive. May it be alive. I feel the Lord shared this with me probably 6 months or a year ago. Here's what he said to me internally. He said that the songs of today, the music is going to change. The music's going to change. And there will be more songs about the kingdom of heaven and the return of the King of Jesus Christ, and there will be about our battling fears right now. That is the language of heaven is going to infiltrate and become our prayer and our song. Because we, you know, we're the closest any generation has ever been to seeing the return of Jesus. It doesn't take a real smart person to figure that out. But it's true. We are close. I don't know how close as far as years and days. No one knows. But we are close. It could be any moment. You look at the news and it's like reading some of the scriptures. It's like we are at the door. I don't know if that's tomorrow or next month or in the next 20 years. It could be another 40 years. I don't know. But there's a heartbeat of this kingdom that Jesus gave us 2,000 years ago. And he said, I want you to seek it. And then when I return, I'm going to bring it in fullness. But I don't want you to seek it and give it away until I'm gone, until I return, while I'm gone. Be wrapped up in this. Pursue it. Give it away. Would you, with me, if the person will allow you to put your hand on them, if you could lay a hand on a shoulder of someone, some of the terminology in the Bible that Jesus used was this. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand. It's this close. A couple of feet away. And I kind of see that as kind of that environment, that atmosphere that's changed around us. So you are carriers of the kingdom right now. It's within you. It's in your hands. And it's at hand. It's near. It's close. This kingdom of heaven. Would you mind just saying over the person you're touching with faith and proclaiming this, the kingdom of heaven is near you. Go ahead and say that to them. The kingdom of heaven is near you. The kingdom of heaven is in this place right now. And if you could begin then praying for that person that you're touching and release whatever element of that kingdom they need. It could be healing, it could be wholeness in soul, it could be a refreshing that they need. Just begin praying for that person, if you don't mind. Just begin releasing the kingdom of heaven in its fullness that's already in you to that person, and the Holy Spirit will show you what to pray. Thank you, Lord. If you could put that slide up, that kingdom manifesto, let's read this as we close, and I encourage you to release the kingdom often and to see yourselves as a carrier of this that Jesus has given you freely. Let's just read some of this together here. The kingdom of heaven is here now in us, upon us, at hand, and coming to fully take over upon the return of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the kingdom of heaven in human form, and his heart is the capital of this kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is the Father's redemptive invasion of his children, and the affection of Jesus is the explosive power within it. The kingdom of God is good news to the poor, the release of every captive, sight to all blind, the setting free of broken victims, and the proclamation of the Lord's favor. The kingdom of heaven is the expression of God's love as a redemptive contagion with infinite possibilities for everyone, everywhere. The kingdom of heaven is a future hope and a present experience with the power to transform heart, mind, and any society that receives it. The kingdom of heaven is total freedom. As children of God, we have been transferred into and now belong to the ageless, unshakable kingdom. Our Father has chosen gladly to give his children the kingdom and all it contains. The Master's keys to the kingdom are given so that the children can bind and loose anything upon earth or in the heavens. Those who seek after the kingdom will find their every need met. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are revealed to all who pursue it. The kingdom of heaven is the absolute cause, never earned, but received freely by all who are poor and humble enough to desire and seek it. The kingdom of God isn't built, but received and shared. The sons and daughters of the king share a creative rulership with the Father and the Son as lights that illuminate the earth. The sons and daughters in the kingdom are voices, not echoes, declaring the gospel of the kingdom to everything that breathes. The kingdom is breathed in and peace is breathed out. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven are the servants of all, awakened children who keep, teach, and live love. The royal law of the kingdom is to treat one another as we want to be treated. The culture of the kingdom is love for one another, belief and faith in God. The kingdom of heaven completes and satisfies every human heart. I think that's it. Thank you, Lord. All right. So we have that, what we just read, printed. We have several left that are at the Welcome Center if you'd like one. The food is out there ready to go. Let me just bless it. Thank you, Father, for food. As we've been seeking your kingdom, look at this. You've already added everything we need to us. The food's prepared and waiting for us. And we just receive it. And Lord, I ask for fellowship. I ask for relationships to grow, for lives to be set free. I ask for some in here who have purposes that are meant to be together, that there is a purpose in someone and a purpose in another, and together they fulfill another purpose that you have. Lord, I pray for those connections that are righteous, that are right. And Lord, we thank you for the fellowship with you, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this robust kingdom. And I ask for your blessing on all of us today, throughout the week, in your powerful, strong name. Amen. Amen. Enjoy.